What we're talking about is late night, early morning low clouds. With a chance of fall, chance of showers in the afternoon. With variable high cloudiness, gusty winds at times around that corner of Sunset and Alvarado. Yeah, I know, things are tough all over. When the thunderstorms start increasing over the southeast and south central portions of my apartment, I get upset. And a line of thunderstorms was developing in the early morning hours ahead of a slow-moving cold front.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the French Connections Thursday edition. Today's date is the 18th day of May, 2006. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. Of course, we try to find interesting and provocative and subjects that are going to move the research we've provided over the last year and a half forward. And again, today's interview is going to be with Christopher Bolin. Many of you are aware we did a really knockdown, drag-out kind of interview last week with information about, all kinds of subjects. But this particular one we're going to talk about today is how they've deceived us in this 9/11 movement and how they're moving people into certain groups. Now, what I'm talking about in this particular segment is about specifically about a woman named Deborah Simon and her influence on several of the most prominent 9/11 people. Now, we're going to talk about exactly how she finances and controls and is involved with several of these groups. Now, Christopher, are you with me?
I'm here.
It's great to have you back, Chris. You know, here's the interesting thing. I read the article that you wrote on the American Free Press, and it talks a little bit about, of course, Mr. Rodriguez's association with this Deborah Simon. Does Deborah Simon live in New York?
Deborah Simon is living in the Baltimore area right now, just north of Baltimore. And she's affiliated with a lot of the 9/11 researchers. I don't think she's affiliated with William Rodriguez directly, but she's been involved in the financing or helping produce the movie Loose Change, the video that's being promoted by the mainstream media here in the United States now as sort of like the alternative piece about what happened on 9/11.
Right. Well, what is her actual job in life? I mean, what does she do for a living, if anything?
Well, she is married into the billionaire family of the Melvin Simon family of Indianapolis. And these people own something like 280 of these big regional shopping malls that they have in the United States and then 50 in Europe and Japan. And she married into that family and is her husband, she told me, or she said that her husband, one of the sons of the Melvin family, died of, I think, of a drug overdose in the 80s. And she said today she's doing leasing. I didn't ask her further about who she's working for, but, since her family does lease, real estate, retail, real estate, she might still be doing that with the family. I don't know.
So you don't know how connected she is to the original family of her late husband?
Well, she told me that she was married to a son of Fred. There's three sons in the Simon family. There was Fred, Herb, and Melvin. Melvin is the one that owns two-thirds or most of the company that's known as Melvin Simon Property Group. And but she said that she told me on the first phone call that she's still in close contact with Diane Meyer Simon, who is the wife of Herb Simon, who is also a billionaire in his own right. And that woman, Diane Simon, is very highly connected to people like Mikhail Gorbachev and Bill Clinton.
Now, there have been a long string of donations from this family and support from this family into national causes for some time. Are there direct connections to any known proponents of Zionism and supporters of Zionism in the country?
Yeah, these people are the backbone of the Jewish Federation of Greater Indianapolis. The campus of the Jewish Federation of Indianapolis is named after the parents of the Simon boys. It's the Max and May Simon campus. And they are very big, you know, for example, this Diane Simon I was telling you about, she was one of the board of directors of something called the Sadat Peace Foundation. But I couldn't find very much about the Sadat Peace Foundation on the internet. And she's also the head of the Global Green in the United States, which is tied to Gorbachev. But they're also, they were very, very generous suppliers, supporters of financial aid to the Clinton administration, to both Hillary and Bill Clinton, and to the Democratic National Committee, and to basically all the Democratic governors and senators from the state of Indiana. For example, Birch Bayh, the former senator of Indiana, is on the board of directors of the company.
Is it Birch Bayh? Birch Bayh.
Birch Bayh.
Okay. Yeah,
and he's on the board of directors since 1993, and so he was sitting on the board of directors of Simon Global, Simon Group, a property group, at the same time that his son was in the state house as the governor of the state of Indiana.
Now Evan Bayh is the son, and is the Bayh family Jewish?
Oh, I don't think so. I don't know, but they could be. I mean, but not to my knowledge. But it's like Lee Hamilton. Lee Hamilton's another example. Lee Hamilton, who was the vice chair of the 9/11 Commission, has received generous financial support from this family since he became senator congressman in 1965. He spent 34 years on the Hill, and now he runs the Woodrow Wilson Foundation for Advanced or International Studies Scholars. And even now that he's director of that Woodrow Wilson Institute, he still receives generous funding from the Simon family. And what's interesting is that, you know, this Lee Hamilton was already retired from Congress when he came back to serve on the 9/11 Commission.
Right. So he may have had a predetermined interest in his conclusions.
Yeah, and you know he also sat on the Joint Intelligence Committee. But even today, even though he's retired, he's no longer an elected official. He sits on the Advisory Board for Homeland Security and for the President's Foreign Intelligence Committee.
Well, now,
do we see any
connections to the national groups such as People for the American Way? Did you come across anything for Southern Poverty Law and these people, or anything with the APEC or ADL? Did you find any kind of tentacles coming from this corporation into those groups?
No, I haven't found those. I haven't found such direct links like that. But they are, this is a very it's a very wealthy Zionist family, and they're very strongly connected to Hollywood. Melvin Simon, who has built or owns 280 retail malls in the United States, he's also a business partner with Larry Silverstein and with Frank Lowy, the two leaseholders of the World Trade Center. I mean, that should put up a yellow flag, at least, when you look at his connections to these two men, and that his a relative of his is working with the 9/11 movement. I mean, that's
well,
rather,
you know, we
suspect.
We made similar conclusions based on who was working for Jeff Rentz's stepmother was working for the Newhouse family, which is the huge Zionist publisher. In fact, the biggest publishers in America for magazines, and when we pointed that out, of course, everyone poo-pooed us.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we look back and take a look at the way, you know, things have gone over time, I believe we've been vindicated in our assertions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the next question. I mean, we've got this family, we've got this gal kind of just floating around, and her name shows up on Loose Change as a credit. It comes out, with people like, interestingly enough, like Carl Schwartz, who we were very strongly against for a very long time. And what connection to Mr. Schwartz was there when you did your investigation?
Well, that's interesting. you know, I don't know that much about Carl Schwartz, but I called up his nanotechnologies and asked him, and he said that she had not, he said that she had only worked as a sort of a scheduler, a coordinator for his many, many radio interviews that he's been asked to do. But the when I spoke to Deborah Simon, she told me that I asked her about if she'd invested in his campaign, his presidential campaign, because she worked with that. And she said no, but since I knew that she had invested in his mission, she said that she had invested in his company, this nanotechnology company that he has. You know, and the thing is about he's got this Patmos nanotechnology that is really a nano-sized company. I mean,
well, we called it nanny-nanny boo-boo technology on our little hit piece on Carl. I talked to Carl recently.
Yeah.
But the fact is that, you know, when we take a look at what's going on here and the connections behind the scenes, now we know Deborah Simon is Jewish. We know that the people that she is connected with directly are very wealthy Zionists. What other red flags did you find in your investigation? I mean, this loose change thing. Now let's talk about this for a minute, because loose change was promoted wildly by Alex Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wildly promoted at RBN by John Stadtmiller.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, so Deborah Simon is working with Carl Schwartz, who has a very vested interest in RBN. So, in other words, this seems to have all the people behind the scenes connected.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you that Deborah Simon, I asked Deborah Simon, because she tells me that her... at first, I thought that she might be the actual daughter of Melvin Simon, who's a Deborah J. Simon. But this Deborah says she's married into the family, that she married a Jeffrey Simon, son of Fred, and she was not Jewish. But she raised her daughter. She told me she raised her daughter in the Jewish faith. When she got married, she says she has her own religion. Is what she said. Her maiden name was Cox, and she told me that her father was I think his name was Gerald Cox. That he was a captain in Navy intelligence, and that he's still alive, she said. But she's maintained her own independent religion, but she promised when she got married to the Cantor that, this is what she told me, that she would raise any offspring that she had from that marriage in the Jewish religion.
Okay.
That's what she told me. Just to set the record straight on that.
Well, I mean, if in fact she's dropping $100,000 investments, which is what has been
mm-hmm.
Bantered around as
mm-hmm.
a possible amount of money to Carl Schwartz,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily mean it came from the fortune behind the scenes, because when this Jeffrey died, she may have been the recipient of a huge sum of money anyway.
Yeah, well, the way that I think she told me was that she had sold a house and gotten something like $900,000 from that house, and that's how she had this money to invest in this company. But one of the strange things is that, you know, anybody who looks at his Patmos nanotechnology doesn't find a lot there. He told me that it's based in Georgia and South Carolina, and that he will have his production in some Eastern European country or in European country. But it's like nothing really seems to exist yet.
Well, there's not even a private filing. I did a NOEX search on the company.
Yeah.
And NOEX is the Dun & Bradstreet search engine for all companies that are incorporated, including private.
Yeah.
Now, it has limited information when it's a private filing, but it still has to be filed as a going concern. In other words,
yeah.
All corporations, public or private, have to be listed. Now, I could find absolutely nothing listed about Patmos. And certainly when I looked into it, it was a farce.
Yeah, and when you call up the company's number, you get his cell phone.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, the phone doesn't answer, the person who answers the phone, which is usually Carl Schwartz, he doesn't say, you know, Patmos Nanotechnology, he says hello. So it doesn't seem to be, like you say, a legitimate company.
No, it isn't legit. And, I mean, from the very beginning, as I've explained in the past here, I had some questions about RBN's financing. And I went into a bit of a story the other day talking about how, you know, this company called American Capital Insurance was paying their phone bills. Now, I had no way of knowing that in advance. They called me, in fact, demanding that I give them the names of people calling me because the phone bill hadn't been paid over there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I was sitting here in France saying, wait a minute, I'm not responsible for the calls coming in my direction. The guy said, well, no. He said, but who was making these calls to you? And I said, well, that's Republic Broadcasting. I said, it has nothing to do with it. He said, well, our billing information goes to Capital Insurance. Anyway, how did I know that this actually came from their phone carrier? I asked for the phone number back from the guy, and it was actually, it did go to the right people, and it was a phone company that I called. So they were doing a legitimate inquiry into the origins of the phone bills. Now, that being said, you know, why would Stadtmiller place such an emphasis on loose change when you and I both know it does not talk about Zionism at all?
Well, that's probably the reason. I mean, from what I you know, now that the mainstream media is turning its attention on these the independent researchers, they've chosen a very select group. People like Loose Change and Webster Tarpley, and these people who do challenge the official version are being promoted rather than others, like Eric Cushman, for example.
Or me. Or you.
You, yes. Because these people have one thing in common, and that is that they refrain from any discussion of Israeli involvement in the attacks of 9/11.
Well, you and I have gone over and over I guess it's not rock-hard evidence in every case, but here's what I know. If everything points in one direction, there are only two possibilities. Either that's who did it, or it's a setup against them.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't seem to me that anybody was setting up these Zionists. It seems to me that the evidence points there because they did it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, from the Dancing Five Israelis to the Israeli software to the Odigo instant messages to the
Silverstein,
Bono, Silverstein, what have you. And what's, you know, now we're in our 4.5 years later or nearly 5 years later, and what I have found at every critical juncture of 9/11 is that I have found a person, what you call a Zionist or a warm Jew, a person with a ties to Israel, has been involved. I mean, Michael Sheratov is the best example. Michael Sheratov, his mother was an Israeli Mossad agent, after all, and he has been the key lawman in the United States enforcing the law as Assistant Attorney General under Ashcroft, who himself was also a devout Christian Zionist. And these people, especially Sheratov, oversaw the investigation. And, you know, the destruction of the evidence from the World Trade Center is critical to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And who could have allowed for this 200,000 tons of steel to be, taken to Staten Island and sold on a fast boat to China if it wasn't the Justice Department? If
it wasn't Michael Sheratov? Every major disaster in America was supposed to be examined for possible correction so it doesn't happen again. And of course, this is the worst disaster America has ever experienced, and that was completely ignored.
Yeah, well, when a jetliner crashes, you know, like Flight 800 or something, they pick up the pieces off the bottom of the ocean and take them to a hangar and put them together to see what happened to the plane. Or they've done that with many planes. And yet, in this case, you have two fundamentally steel structures that fall for, you know, unclear reasons. And the first thing they do is they take the steel and send it to China to be melted down. This is the largest destruction of evidence from a crime scene in history.
Yeah.
And Michael Sheratov oversaw it.
Well, and not only that, he was involved in the planning, the prosecutorial planning for the 93 attack on that same building.
Right.
And he was involved through his New Jersey connections and his New Jersey position that he had. So, and then we can take a look at the connections to other rabbis within the organization. Bush's first term with Ari Fleischer.
Right.
We can take a look at his close association to Wolfowitz, to Pearl,
to Feith,
to Libby. It goes on and on, guys. I mean,
yeah.
we know that there aren't any Jesuits running around in that list, and. So basically, we come back to the Zionist group again, and so basically, what I want to know from you is, we see that they did not, this Loose Change group did not talk at all about this. What is it they did talk about, and why do you think they did?
Well, What they talk about is the need to that Bush and Cheney and the senior officials of the White House are to be blamed for 9/11. And what they want is that they, like in their film, in their video, they say, "Are you mad yet?" And they ask for us to focus our rage and our anger at the Bush administration and to prosecute these people. And you know, the thing is that their video is now coming out in the, from what they say, in a third edition at the end of the summer, exactly at the time to prime the pump for the midterm elections. And you know, they I think that the people who are behind Loose Change, for example, Deborah Simon, are very, very strong supporters of Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party. And yet at the same time, the evidence indicates that they're also responsible for the cover-up of the Israeli role in 9/11. So it's they want to get the Democrats in power and to make the American people think that by getting rid of George Bush and the Republicans, getting them out of Congress, that we've cleaned house and saved the country. When in fact, what we will have accomplished if we get Hillary Clinton in there is that we put the fox in, you know, in the chicken house.
Well, we played basically musical chairs with Zionists.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, you know, now here's the interesting thing that really strikes me. There are also rumblings about a theater or a movie theater debut of this particular film, and financing through possible Simon money as well.
Yeah, well, I asked Deborah Simon about that. She claims not to have been involved in the Hollywood connection to this, but like you say, the movie's supposed to be it's in its third edition, and it's going to go into mainstream movie theaters. This means Hollywood distribution for September 11th of this year. So that would, you know, like I told you, the Simon family has very close ties to Hollywood.
Well, didn't they do movies already, Porky's and several others?
Yes, he made 23 movies, 23, you know, sort of grade B movies. But this Deborah Meyer Simon is also on a group called the Hollywood Policy Board Foundation or something like that. I couldn't find much about that group, but she lives down here in Santa Barbara, Montecito, and she has a house here, and she is, you know, so the Simon family still has their finger in the Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what happened with his Melvin Simon Productions company, I think that in 1985 it was taken over by Viacom. There's a lawsuit out there that talks about that, but it appears that Melvin Simon Productions was taken over by the Viacom people.
Ah.
Sumner Redstone, isn't that?
Well, you know, Sumner Redstone's also a major Zionist.
Of course. Well, Hollywood is a very Zionist thing, and so that's the thing, is that if this movie's going to come out in Hollywood theaters, I mean, in you know, the theaters that are controlled by the Hollywood gang, you have to ask yourself, why? And what they're trying to do is they're trying to control the opposition. They're trying to buy off and to control the 9/11 opposition. That being the researchers who are opposed to the official version. So they got they control both parts. They're making movies like United 93, and Joel Ratner is making this movie about Flight 77 hitting the Pentagon. I think it's called Pentagon 9/11. He's on in Virginia. And so they're controlling the mainstream products, and at the same time they're going to control the so-called alternative products.
Yeah, well, see, it's interesting to note that the promotion from Alex Jones was enormous for this, as well as Rents, as well as Michael Corbin, as well as RBN's entire staff. And it seems like it came from nowhere. Now,
well, it's like
there are only two possibilities. Either they wanted that story to be promoted, that video exclusively, or they were paid to do it. Now, in either sense, they were a main vehicle for introducing this Loose Change deception to a lot of people, and it's still being circulated as a major piece of truth telling. And you and I both know, by omission, it is only a half truth.
Well, it's just like Michael Moore's thing. Michael Moore did the same thing. It's you know, by obscuring anything about the Israeli role in the war in Iraq or the 9/11 attacks. It's that's the sanitized message. That's the message they're going to promote.
Well, You know, I look at, the more I do this and the longer I do it and the more I look into this stuff, it doesn't seem that we're ever going to get that big voice, Christopher. I mean, look, the truth is a rare commodity today, and you know, because we've got our finger on this, and we told the world, Eric and I did, months and months ago, that this was a very bad group of people. We knew they were. We knew they were involved in obfuscation and cover-up. And we could not get traction. We couldn't get traction against this guy Jones. His numbers are back up to where they were before the Sheen thing and before he came out and was exposed as a liar. And as some, I mean, how many things do the alternative press followers have to see before they turn away from the liars?
Well, the thing is that, you know, they're going to look at it like sniping. A lot of people are going to look at it, and people that are just, you know, peripheral are going to say that you're jealous of the success that Loose Change is having, and you're sniping at them. And that's unfortunate, because they're being deluded by this. And they're going to, you know, if they come out with this movie in the mainstream media, millions of people will see it, because as the media has found out, this is a red hot issue. Something like 90% of the people that watch Anderson Cooper, for example, which is a very mainstream show, you know, don't believe the government version or think the government was involved in the cover up. So they have to try and co-opt this truth movement like we're involved in, and say, here we are, we're the truth, or here are these are the products, and these are the guys you should be reading, like Webster Tarpley. I know Webster Tarpley. I've heard his spiel many times, and I've looked at his book, and I've asked him, why is it that you know, the title of his book is something like 9/11, Made in the USA, Synthetic Terror, Made in the USA.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he doesn't provide any evidence to show that 9/11 was made in the USA. I mean, I hold George Bush and Dick Cheney responsible for the fact that they obviously had prior knowledge, or they seem to have had prior knowledge, but most importantly, that they failed to institute and to establish a blue ribbon independent investigation on September 12th.
And right, and to secure the evidence for that investigation.
Absolutely. And as the president and the vice president, they are responsible for that failure. But that doesn't mean that they're the perpetrators. And it's a crime, and as a crime, it has to be investigated as a crime. And the destruction of the evidence was the one of the worst things that happened. And certainly, Michael Chertoff should have had his wits about him, or should have prevented that from happening. So he is ultimately responsible as Ashcroft, as Department of Justice heads, for allowing that to happen.
Well, again, the Department of Justice is in control also of the most criminal police organization in America, that's the FBI. Mm-hmm. We know that these people are involved in most of the cover-up work and most of they're on site before most of these events have taken place.
Exactly.
To quash any dissent or to confiscate any evidence that might leak out. Which brings me to my next question. I'm sure you saw the video clip of what they claim is definitive evidence of a plane hitting the Pentagon, and I looked at that and could see absolutely no evidence. And it's only the only evidence that they're offering is some guy saying there's evidence.
I think that I saw the video clip of the looks like they added a couple frames into the original five frames from the security camera in the parking lot.
It shows nothing, Chris.
No, it shows what it does show is it shows it was not a plane that hit the Pentagon, in my opinion. There's no way that a 767 or 757 can fly at grade like that. Now they're saying 350 miles an hour and smash into the limestone clad walls of the Pentagon and leave none of itself behind on the lawn. It's just not possible.
Well, you know, we're battling, Christopher. You know, and this the simple truth of the matter is, this is a war of attrition here on our part. We're trying to get as many people as possible to just take a look at this evidence, because it's pretty powerful and convincing stuff if they spend the time. I mean, I've had a lot of people, skeptics, come and write me emails and say, well, you know, how come that Mr. Smith, la la la. Well, I say, well, look, first start out with Ben Friedman.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to Ben Friedman, first of all, because he'll talk about this conspiracy 40 years back.
Mm-hmm.
And then start going through some of the files and some of the investigating we've done and see how it fits together and see if our information makes sense to you. Use your Socratic brain. Don't be buffaloed into thinking, you know, the way they want you to. Just take a look at this rationally. And if anyone does that, they're convinced. They're automatically convinced.
Yeah, and the thing is that obviously, like you said, the attacks on the World Trade Center were planned decades in advance.
Yeah.
And the degree of planning. I mean, this is clear to anybody, like Andreas von Bülow or the Germans told me, is that the degree of planning, the complicity, the complexity of this attack indicate that this was done by a state-supported agency. This was not done by 19 Arabs flunkies out of flight school. There's no way. And that's like you said. But as this becomes more and more mainstream, the you know, like if they promote this film Loose Change and people begin to question, that opens up a window for us, because one of the biggest obstacles to getting the truth out to the American people is that they have been reluctant to even address this issue. Until now, it's only been the official version or nothing. You know, the lunatic fringe that people like me who have been challenging the official version. But now, if they do promote this film, Loose Change, that might actually open the window for us to get the truth out, because people will realize that they have not gotten the truth.
Well, yeah, that is a possibility.
Loose Change is a good movie. It just doesn't go far enough. It's just
that's
like 9/11.
Right. And see, that's what I'm saying. It's lying by omission. Now, you know, here's the other thing I want to bring up. Did you have a chance to read the Hofsicker article that was done recently on the Autark connection and Abramoff and cocaine and Duke Cunningham and Tom DeLay and all of that stuff that came out recently, the big shipment of cocaine that was coming in and all those different connections?
No, I haven't read that article, but I've heard about that cocaine shipment and the but tell me about it.
Well, actually, there was an article written by Daniel Hofsicker, and he connects the dots to the flight school down there, and he says that the person that owned the plane that Atah was training on was connected to Abramoff. Abramoff also was connected to Atah through free gifts on his gambling boat, and he took cruises. And then there was also a store over there with a man that was clearly working for the U.S. government in a capacity as an intermediary.
Wait, you're saying Mohammed Atta was connected to Abramoff?
Abramoff, that's right.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, there was a little convenience store there where it was run by an Arab fella who had connections to the people that were bringing in this shipment of drugs, and also this guy Cunningham out in San Diego. And also Tom DeLay. There's a whole big network of connections behind that. And it's not a complete story yet, because apparently he's going to write a second part to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was powerful in the extreme. As I read through it, I said, holy smokes. This
mm-hmm.
Because Bush has seen, I think it's 17 times with Abramoff over his career.
Mm-hmm.
He's been photographed, I think the number's 17. I may be wrong. But I think it's 17 times he's been seen together. At least it's over a dozen.
Yeah.
And now that's the direct link.
Yeah.
Now, you know, where we're going with all this, I don't know. I mean, if the whole thing is going to come down to this, I think. Is the country's financial system going to melt down before we get the truth?
Hmm.
Because if the system, the financial system of America finally melts down, there's going to be anarchy. I mean, look, people are going to be scratching the ground for a kernel of corn if the finances go south like they have begun to do. And people are going to be less worried about what happened on 9/11 and more worried about, you know, getting a sandwich to eat.
Yeah, it'd be like the Depression all over again.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, you couldn't get people to pay much attention to conspiracies during that period. It was more like, can you give me a dollar or a job or something?
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, you know, what's your take on the next move for us?
Oh boy, that's a big question. I really don't know, but I mean, you know, the thing is, if the economy goes south like that, you know that the only thing that took the United States out of the Depression was World War II. So if the economy does tank, like you say, I mean, I've heard these predictions for before. That would only set the stage for a larger war in the Middle East.
I fear that may be a scenario. But you know what? We'll have to pick that up another day. Christopher, great to have you as usual. You always bring a lot of supporting evidence to the work you do, and it makes it a pleasure for me to interview you. You know, we don't always get it perfect, but we most often get it right.
One thing I want to say is that the people behind these conspiracies, like the Abramoff thing, and 9/11, it's a small group of people.
It's
a very small group of people, and because it's a small group of people, it's easier to find the traces, the connections, the network, because it's not an extensive network. It's not that large, and when you find a common thread running between these people, like they're all Zionists or something like that, you found a great deal. And I don't think that this is we're up against a large group of people. We're up against obviously a very small group of people. And we have the truth movement for 9/11. We have clearly the people on our side.
Well, let's leave it at this, and I'll ask you to maybe look into Daniel Hotziker's claims. And get a chance to read that, and I'll talk to you at a later date about what your take is on all that, and because I think it's an important piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
And I don't, I'm not that familiar with Daniel Hotziker's work, except to tell you that what was discussed in his article was really, really powerful stuff, and he was correct on the flight school connections in the past.
Yes.
And he was correct on several other very key ingredients to this conspiracy. So I'm certainly going to add a little weight to his further investigations based on those revelations.
Yeah, it looks very interesting. Okay, very good.
Well, thank you for listening in, ladies and gentlemen, and I want to thank Christopher Bolin for being my guest today on The French Connection. Thanks again, Christopher, and we'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow with either a small rant or another interview. I haven't found somebody I'd like to put on the radio quite yet, but maybe I will between now and tomorrow. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, goodbye and be well. Bye-bye.